You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 242 of the Shared Security Show. And joining me this week is the always lovable and, dare I say, huggable co-host, Kevin Johnson.
I'm not sure about always lovable. I think my family would disagree with that.
I would hope not, actually.
I would hope not, but I think.
You think?
Yeah.
So how you doing, Kevin?
Not bad. Work, a little bit more work. I will say, and Lego is not a sponsor of the show, as far as I know.
Not yet.
Should be.
Yeah.
The Lego Atari 2600 set.
Okay.
Is awesome.
Really? Okay.
My daughter and I finished it yesterday. It's now in the office. It is just a fun build. Now, I will say that part of the fun is I had an Atari 2600 because I am that old.
I did too. And I'm that old as well. Yeah.
All three games that come with it, Centipede, Asteroids, and Adventure, were awesome.
You can actually play them?
No.
Oh.
No.
That would be awesome. Like you build your own Lego version of 2600 and it works.
But it is. I did have Jim McMurray from Milton Security told me that I need to put a pie in it with a.
Yeah.
And that would be cool. But yeah, it's just a neat, fun set.
Yeah, I'm going to mark that on my list, my Lego list. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And how are you doing?
I'm good. It's been a busy couple of weeks, but it's a shorter week this week. Yeah. We had Labor Day. I know you labored on Labor Day, but...
I think that's what you're supposed to do. It's in the name.
Something like that. I actually decided to cook and barbecue, but that's just me. So.
Oh, yeah. If I had to pick, I think I would have picked barbecue.
Always a better choice. Always a better choice.
Yeah.
So, well, we have no Scott Wright this week, and I'm going to acknowledge the fact that he is not here instead of waiting to the end of the podcast like we did a couple weeks ago.
Scheduling conflict. But yeah,
he's still here. We haven't fired him. Yet.
can we fire somebody from a volunteer podcast?
I don't know. I'm curious. I don't think you can. I mean, you're right. Nobody here is, I don't pay you guys. So.
Right. wait. Was that an option? Wait a minute. Yeah. So both of us are going to be on the road quite a bit. I leave next week. And I think the next time I'm home for a full week is November.
Yeah. I've got us booked, I think, early in the week to do a podcast because, I will also be traveling towards the end of the week. So, this is it's crunch time for us because guess what it's getting to? It's getting to Q4, the dreaded Q4.
See, I don't dread Q4. No? I love Q4. And there's two reasons I love it. Ignoring the aspect of I'm a greedy capitalist and people pay us for it. One, we're busy. So that's good. Busy is good. I've always liked being busy.
It's a good problem to have.
The second reason I like it is I always find it funny that everybody in the industry agrees that Q4 is our busiest time. Why? Because people realize their auditors meant it when they said they needed an annual pen test. But at the same time that the entire industry, the consulting part of the industry,
that's
is
right.
busy.
Yeah.
Every conference and their brother runs in fourth quarter. Because my travel over the next 3 months is almost entirely conferences.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how we've done that as an industry. Let's have us all get together for things we don't get paid for while we are busy with the thing that pays the bills.
Yeah, it sounds very InfoSec, but yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
So we do have some stories to talk about this week. And the first is TikTok has denied a data breach that has reportedly exposed over 2 billion users' information, records of user information. And supposedly it was this hacking group who has the name, what was it? The something against the West,
Yeah, Rise Against the West or something.
Yeah. Oh, Against the West. Group? Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Against the West. They're called Blue Hornet, aka Against the West.
Is it a group or is it one dude?
Well, it could be one dude. No one really knows, but
yeah, and everything we've seen from this handle, for the lack of a better term, appears to be a lie.
Yes, and apparently in this hacker forum, this account is known for making up lies about data breaches in the past. And I think it's interesting that they named themselves Against the West and they targeted a Chinese company. Wouldn't that be Against the East?
I thought the same thing, and then I started thinking about it. And I'm not sure, but I think I could see the argument that TikTok is so popular in the West, would be Against the West.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But I, you know, and I want to be very clear. I'm not saying this wasn't a breach, because I don't know. But looking at it, I actually lean toward believing that it wasn't TikTok. And the reason, there's a couple reasons. One, every bit of the data that we're seeing appears to be accessible publicly. Now,
correct.
The negative aspect of it is it's a large amount of public data in one, like we've consolidated that data, right? Like that's why I say this. I'm not saying it's not a breach. But the second reason that I think that it's probably not TikTok is I cannot imagine that TikTok's entire infrastructure is run on MySQL.
gosh, I would hope not.
Right. And so and there's some evidence. What is it? Julan, Julan, I think is the company mm-hmm. they're thinking it was.
Yeah.
What this appears to be to me, based on what I'm reading, what I'm seeing, is that a third party who collected this data, whether they collected it in partnership with TikTok or whether they collected it as just something they do from a perspective, we see that all the time, right? Companies scrape data, they collect data, and then they get popped. That's what it looks like. And I think it's important. I think it's not important to me whether TikTok got hit or not. What's important to me is that we pay attention to data that now is available. Let's let people know the data is available, right? You know, I think, but of course, you know, the headlines are TikTok got popped, TikTok denies this, right? Like that's the cool thing to talk about, not.
Yeah. Well, the other aspect of this is that the TikTok security team has said that there has been no breach. They have said that this is none of this is true. That was posted, and it basically said, you know, it's not due to any compromise of TikTok systems, networks, or databases. So I think you're right, Kevin, that this may be more data from some third party or scraped together, right? We've seen this a lot with Facebook when, oh, look, it's a Facebook data breach when all it is someone's run a bot that's scraping profiles and then harvesting that data or something like that.
Or they have a partnership of some type, right? That where they have access to TikTok's data and then they get popped. This is, we talk about this all the time with customers. We talk about this all the time in general, right? The world has become more integrated. The world has become more connected. We've obviously proven that, you know, intelligence and knowledge is not tied to availability of information because people seem to be louder, stupider, but contrary to having access to all the actual data in the world. But we're more interconnected and businesses are building entire business models around that integration. And repeatedly we find you talk to these companies that are integrating, that are dealing with this data, that are dealing, and to them, they're not worried about security to the same level as the larger companies are, or the direct companies are, because to them, it's just data they collected. It's not right, you know. And so we see way too often where these third parties are popped. And that's why it becomes so critical for everybody to consider where they are integrating, where they are working, and I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a bad one.
It reminds me of when we talked about the John Oliver data brokers episode, and just talking about how data brokers, I mean, this is their business model. So if a data broker got popped, you know, this still could be legitimate data because all of these social media companies partner with, well, partner is one word for it, but sell this data for various reasons. This is just part of their business model.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
The second biggest school district in the United States, which is Los Angeles, was hit with ransomware over the other weekend ago, last weekend, because Labor Day was Monday.
The other weekend ago.
Do you like that?
Yeah. I like that. I'm going to start using that.
Good. That's trademark now, but,
Hey, I've done the trademark process. Right. It's not that easy.
No, definitely not. But, this caused supposedly a significant disruption, even though school did start on time Tuesday, of this week. So they took Monday, Labor Day to, apparently triage the situation. They did get help from the federal government. So Homeland Security, so CISA came in, the FBI, Department of Education, all these agencies helped them, which to me sounds like this wasn't that big of a deal if they were this quickly able to get systems up and running. Because, I mean, you and I both know, depending on how the ransomware is installed and all those things, I mean, it could be a long time, like we've seen with Colonial Pipeline and other things being shut down to remediate that. But I just want to say, like, that's a very fast response for, a huge school district like that.
The impression I have, based on having done that type of work before and what we're reading, is that while, yes, they are the second largest school district, whatever, which makes me wonder, who's the largest? Do you know?
I think it's New York.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Not that that's important, just curiosity. And I probably should have just Googled that thing. Right. While they are second largest, this sounds like, we had a couple machines get hit, right? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I will say this. I do find it funny that the article says, they got assistance from blah, 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 and the White House. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I immediately had an image of Joe Biden sitting in front of a series of computers trying to do recovery. I don't know why. That's where my brain went. Like, I totally see it, right? and I don't call you – that's not a political statement.
No.
I just thought it was funny, right? To me, you're absolutely right. This was probably they got hit with ransomware, but they got hit with ransomware in systems that weren't critical to run.
Yeah.
And that's why they were up and running as fast. You brought up Colonial Pipeline. If you recall, the biggest problem Colonial Pipeline had wasn't the ransomware. The ransomware didn't take them down. They took themselves down.
They did.
Because they couldn't track
who
would owe them money.
Yeah.
Right. Here's a case where the school board appears to have done what was right. Hey, you know what? We got hit. We're going to deal with that, but we're going to keep doing business for a definition of business. What I hope to see is more details about what they did to recover.
Yes.
Because that's what I'd like to see us share more, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the one thing that's been missing here is like details of how it happened, what they did to respond, like more of the technical details, like things like that need to be shared in the security community, because especially now, since, and the timing of this is kind of ironic, but the FBI and CISA and ISAC actually made an announcement like literally right before this happened that more of these hacking groups are going after school districts, mainly because of their, you know, lack of overall, you know, strong security and budget cuts. And I mean, we get in a whole debate about schools and teachers and all those things, but they are, I mean, public schools are really not funded very well from an IT security side, right? You probably see this with clients and other things, small businesses, governments, local small governments. We've had this conversation before.
And I don't mean to be rude, but if I'm going to fund something, right, coming from the normal taxpayer mindset, right, if my money is going to go spend something, I would rather my money be spent on teaching kids.
Absolutely.
Helping the kids, right? And so when you say to them, well, we need cybersecurity, it's like, yeah, does that teach the kids? And the general answer is, I disagree with this answer, but the general answer is no, there's no ROI on security, right? So let's put the money there. And I know we have customers in the education field. I also have friends that work in that field. And without fail, they are all underfunded, right? You know, it's ridiculous.
It is. So, I mean, it's obvious why, you know, schools would be targeted in school districts specifically. So this is definitely going to be continuing. But yeah, I really do hope that they release an after breach report, after incident report that can be shared. I think that's really important. So Kevin, maybe go back to when you were in high school. I know that's a long time for you. But do you remember when, you know, you had to use the restroom and you either had to raise your hand or you had to get like, you know, a hall pass, right?
Yep.
To go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, it was no big deal, right? You know, you didn't have to be like surveilled or tracked, you know, the teacher just trusted.
I wasn't surveilled, right?
Yeah, that's, you're trusted. You're going to the bathroom, you're coming back in class. Well, apparently in Australia, a school in Sydney has put in fingerprint scanners in the bathrooms or at the entrance of the bathroom. I think that's what it is. That students are required to scan their fingerprint. And apparently this is supposed to curb vandalism of the bathroom.
Yeah, because fingerprint scanners will prevent spray painting and pencils and pens from writing on bathroom walls.
I mean, I have to say, like, wouldn't a surveillance camera outside of the bathroom just like knowing who's going, not in the bathroom itself, right? That's a whole other privacy issue, but just maybe put a camera of like who's going in and out. And then if there was vandalism, then you know that the kids coming out of the bathroom after the vandalism happened, there's your suspect. I don't know. Yeah, why fingerprint readers?
Here's the issue in my mind. Here's what happened. A company sold the school district.
Yeah, this is where this is going.
Period. That's what happened. Yeah. A company said, hey, we have this technology. We can build him better, whatever, right? And they sold this, and they sold it on this idea of let's prevent vandalism. It's similar to, I've ranted about, I believe on this podcast, I've ranted about this before. I have an alarm system at home and at the office, right? Like, and every year I have to pay a fee for my alarm to the police department, the sheriff's office. And when you ask them what that fee is for, they tell you, because the fee does not actually go to the sheriff's department. It goes to a company.
To a company.
Right?
Yes.
And the company says, well, we do this to reduce false alarms. And it's like, okay, how does paying this money reduce false alarms? Uh-huh. And their answer is, because if we know where the alarms are, we can penalize you. And my answer to that is, you know, when the police department shows up at my house because I've called in an alarm and it's false, they know where the house is because they're there. Like,
right?
They don't need my $20 a year. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't need my $20 a year to prevent false alarms, because it does jack to prevent false alarms. This system and your idea of a camera outside the bathroom also does jack to prevent vandalism. What it does is allow the school to know where the kids are at any one time. That's it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I will guarantee you that if you talk to that Australian school district, they have no idea when the vandalism happened.
Right.
Right. So, okay, we on Monday when we opened the school, there was no vandalism in the bathroom. On Friday when we closed the school, there's vandalism. Who went to the bathroom from Monday to Friday? And my answer to that point is almost everybody.
Right. But what's to stop a kid from not scanning their fingerprint? Like,
what's to stop the kid from grabbing the door as the other kid comes out and going in?
Right.
Right.
It's stupid.
This is wasted money.
Totally.
Not only is it wasted money, but it actually is a privacy issue. Now, the article has the privacy person, the privacy expert, discussing how a breach will expose fingerprints. I hope you heard the quotes in italics around expert when I said it. Because if you believe that a biometric system is storing fingerprints, you don't understand how biometric systems work. It is a privacy issue, though, because if you know the kid went into the bathroom at this point and left the bathroom at that point, you know how long they spent in the bathroom. You know where they were located. I will guarantee you that when those students registered for that fingerprinting system, they did not register in a school board system. They registered
in a
third-party commercial organization system. And what did they give that third-party organization? At the very least, they gave them their name, their student ID, and their biometric record. So now, when that third-party system gets popped, because you know as well as I do, that third-party company is going to get popped, right? Those kids' data is now being exposed. And that's at the minimum, because I also know that when I've dealt with systems like this in the past, not necessarily biometric, but third-party systems, they actually get way more information than, because, you know, what is the student's ID? Is it your government-issued ID? Is it your, right? Because I know that in this public school system here, my daughter's ID was her social security number. Okay. Yeah. So now you have socials in this third-party company. They have email addresses because they need to notify the parents when the kid goes to the bathroom too much, right? They have a phone number for the kid. They have, I guarantee you that company is collecting way more information. I don't know that. I haven't gone and researched who the company is, but in my opinion, this is what happened. You have a company who wants to make a profit. They went to the school board. They convinced the school board. And I love how it says, well, the parents were notified multiple times. Really? Okay, cool. Because I know that every parent opened that email and understood what it meant, right? Well, we had a focus group that didn't have a problem with it. Yeah, jackholes. Because you said to them, let's prevent vandalism. And they're like, yes, we should prevent vandalism. It goes back to the same thing. The minute somebody says, we're protecting the kids, do it for the kids, they're a scam.
There's always an alternative motive.
Yeah.
Always.
This is... pisses me off. And the privacy expert pisses me off because they don't understand technology.
So I'm so glad I found an article that will piss you off. It's great.
I know it's your goal. Your goal every week is to find something that is going to make Kevin go, screw that guy.
That's right. I even have a little bit of a sound clip here from a previous episode, Kevin.
Privacy sucks. We're going to die.
Remember that?
Privacy sucks. We're going to die. What the hell is wrong with my voice?
So we'll just leave that in the episode for everybody. But
privacy does suck and we all are going to die.
Exactly.
Do you know that your life expectancy is actually 2 minutes, but every breath resets the clock?
Thank you for that tidbit of knowledge.
No problem. I read that somewhere and thought it was so funny, I decided to repeat it.
That's awesome. Well, with that, I think that's where we'll end the show for this week. But thank you, as always, Kevin. We'll have Scott back next week to find out what's going on in the great white north of Canada.
Oh man.
Not snowing yet.
Too cold up there.
Yeah.
Too cold up there.
Probably getting cold already, but till next time, we will talk to you. I'll talk to you next week. And to everyone else, we will speak with you again next week. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.